Greetings, Matthew and Robert, and members of the Audio Drama Production Podcast. Just want to wish you all a happy and or Merry Christmas or any other holiday that you celebrate this time of year. So it's been an incredible 2015 in audio drama, and I'm really looking forward to what 2016 has to offer us in the future. Well, have a good one, and keep on casting. Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. We're the weekly show that teaches you how to make $1 million working for 1 hour a week from home. Isn't that right, Austin?
Absolutely.
We're all millionaires in the audio drama production medium. So Robert's been substituted today for Austin Beach. So how are you doing today, Austin?
I'm doing fantastic, Matthew. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. And Robert probably back next week. But, you know, I've been wanting to get you on the show, Austin, because we're getting to the end of 2015. We're approaching a new year, and you're really new to making audio dramas. I believe like a year ago at this point, you hadn't even started, had you?
No, we hadn't. We got together about a year ago, and I kind of gathered a few friends together, and I said, hey, I've got this idea, and we didn't know the first thing about it.
And now, of course, you have an audio drama out there for the world to hear, and we'll talk about that shortly. But yeah, I think just to have a conversation about this is going to be really encouraging to people, because I know we've got a lot of listeners who they've not got started yet. They're audio drama listeners. They consume a lot of content. They really enjoy it, really know a lot about it, but they're actually just not, you know, they've not got around to getting started yet. They might have penned a few scripts, but sometimes it's the production usually that holds people back, isn't it? So I'm hoping that just by, you know, talking about the experiences that you guys have had over the last sort of 6 to 8 months might encourage a few people. And with a new year starting in a couple of weeks' time, maybe some people are wanting to make that leap and start getting stuff out there. So just to take it back to, you know, when the idea sort of germinated in your head to start creating audio drama, what was the reason behind that? How did it all start?
Well, Scott and I have, Scott and Mike and I, at different times throughout the last few years, had been working on an idea for a comic book story. And I kind of came to the harsh realization, I'm never going to be able to draw fast enough to put out a regular comic book. But we've still had stories to tell. And I've always been a big fan of the audio drama medium, and thought, why not? And I foolishly thought, how hard can it be? I mean, we just record some voices and throw in some sound effects and we're done. It sounds simple. I couldn't have been more wrong. But it's I don't want to say that it's, you know, I don't want to make people think that it's hard to do. I mean, it's time consuming, definitely. And, you know, there's a lot of things you got to learn in order to be able to make things sound good. But, you know, I it's worth it. I've developed kind of an unhealthy obsession for it, really.
Yeah, once you get that bug, it's pretty all-consuming, isn't it? And like you say, I think you know, that it's technology, I think, that puts a lot of people off. Obviously, the barrier to entry when you start writing scripts is a lot lower, because I think, you know, we've all got experience of writing at some point in our life, so, you know, even a very basic level. But when it comes to microphones and software and the recording and that is the things that tend to put people off. So was that the case for you guys? I mean, the fact that you were planning a comic book, presumably you had some experience of writing stories, and it was just trying to put them into audio that was the big stumbling block for you initially.
Yeah, and actually the original story that we had in mind for a comic book, we haven't even started with yet as far as creating an audio drama. Once we got together, we just, the ideas just started exploding out of our heads, and we decided to work on other things first. But really, I basically got on the internet and typed in free recording software. And that's really where I started. I found Audacity to begin with. And, you know, Audacity is a good program to start with to learn. But I've since moved on from Audacity and started using Reaper. But yeah, I mean, the technology, it's not really all that expensive, really, I would say, to get started. It does cost you a little bit of money, but it's worth it, really. I mean, using a digital audio workstation, it does take a little bit of effort to learn. I know it took me a lot of research, a lot of obviously listening to your show.
I think the good thing to bear in mind when you get into audio editing, because if you open up a DAW, you know, that's the name for like any sort of editing software. When you open one of these software packages up, even if it's Audacity, which compared to the others is a pretty basic piece of software, there's so much stuff in it, and it could be quite intimidating. Like, you go into the effects, you go into... There's just so much stuff in there. And I think the important thing to bear in mind is that you don't have to actually learn all this at once. In fact, you could get by for years without even touching any of these different options that you've got in there. There's a lot of presets as well, which help. So you don't technically have to go in and know how to do various things, because these effects usually come with quite descriptive names as well. So I think, like, it's just that when you get into audio editing, it's just about experimentation, isn't it? Even like pulling a voice track into your DAW that you've no intention of releasing, and just finding out how things sound, how things work, and just experimenting. Is that pretty much how you got started with the production side?
Oh, absolutely. We've got hours and hours and hours of stuff that we've recorded that probably will never see the light of day. We just, like you said, we would just record things and see what it sounded like initially. And, you know, we did messed around with things like, oh, look at this, you can reverse it and play it backwards, and just stuff like that. And just a lot of experimentation, a lot of trial and error.
When you initially discover the reverse function on audio software, it takes up a couple of weeks of your life when you pull in all your favorite songs and things like that, ripping YouTube videos, and you do get over that eventually. But it is quite funny at first when you start slowing stuff down or speeding it up, turning someone into a chipmunk. So just to give the listener a sort of idea of the time frame, talk me through like the timeline of the last year, from getting started to some of the milestones to finally getting your first show out. What was the sort of timeline going from the beginning basically to putting that episode out?
Well, honestly, for probably about the first two, maybe 2.5 months that we started meeting, we didn't even record a single line, nothing. It was all just hashing out the ideas and what we wanted to do and stuff like that. Then we picked up our first microphone, which actually our first microphone was a USB microphone, but we've since moved on to XLR. And probably over the next couple of months, we really started working on trying to better ourselves as voice actors, because, you know, obviously none of us had really done anything like this before. Some of us had experience in theater and stuff like that, but as far as voice acting, honestly it was a little nerve-wracking, and I was nervous constantly when we first started doing it. Even though these are my friends for years, it drove me crazy voice acting in front of them. Now it's like second nature. It got to be about October 8th of this year, and Audio Drama Day was coming up, and I wanted to challenge my group, and I said, let's see if we can set everything else aside that we're working on now and completely conceptualize a new idea and see it to fruition. Let's see if we can get it done by Audio Drama Day. Obviously, we missed it. We were about a week and a half late, but nevertheless, we completely came up with an idea, wrote the story, recorded it, produced it, and put it out in just a little over a month's time. I wasn't really wasn't sure if we were going to be able to get it done that quickly, but it turns out we did, and I'm kind of proud of that, really.
Just thinking about, you know, you were saying that you found the voice acting side of things, and again, this is another skill in its own right, that if you're going to act in audio drama, you at least have to learn to a sort of acceptable degree. You said you found it quite uncomfortable. Was it a gradual thing getting over that for you, or was there something that happened that you just really sort of made a leap and it became like a, you know, no problem at all for you?
Well, really, I was the first one to actually record anything and before anybody else did, and which made it even more nerve-wracking. But once it got to the point that they were recording and I heard them messing up repeatedly and constantly stumbling over lines and saying things wrong, it made it a little easier. And I realized, well, they're having all the same problems that I am, so we'll just work through it together.
Were there any big key lessons that you could remember learning in the first few months of you getting started with all this?
Always check your decibel levels before you go through your entire recording. Make sure your microphones are at the level that you need them, or you will waste a lot of time.
Yeah, I suppose another handy hint there is always check that you're actually recording as well, because it's the old, you know, you stick a microphone on standby and it starts coming through your headphones, and if you're not paying attention, it's easy to forget that you're actually, well, you're not recording at all. So I think we've all been stung with that one before, haven't we?
We've actually recorded quite a few episodes. Well, I guess I would say not recorded quite a few episodes and went through the entire script before we realized that we're not recording.
Yeah, and those are always the best takes as well, the ones that the ones that weren't
absolutely
recorded. So you worked on the one-off story. Now, what was the name of it? I heard it a couple of weeks ago. I really loved it. It was, I think I described it as, was it Night of the Living Dead meets Animal Farm? What was it called again?
Natural Selection.
That was it, yeah. So a pretty unique take on a story. Was that something that was originally planned to become a comic strip, or was it a new idea?
No, that was a completely new idea. Since Audio Drama Day was kind of coinciding with Halloween, we decided to, you know, release a sort of horror slash survival story. And that was a completely new conceptualized story.
So you guys as a group, there's four of you, isn't there?
Yes.
And how does it work in terms of the collaboration? Like, who's doing what? Are you all mucking in and doing the writing and production, or have you managed to sort of split tasks up and try and specialize?
Well, Scott does the majority of our writing, Scott Phillips. Some of the stuff, him and I collaborate on the writing, but he does the majority of it. Mike Jansen does a little bit of writing on a story that we're, you know, down the road on, and so does Drew. But we pretty much collaborate on the ideas and then kind of pass it off to Scott, and him and I will kind of collaborate on the writing aspect. And then once we have a script done, we'll sit down, do a read through with all four of us, try to figure out how we want that particular character to sound. And then once we're comfortable with it, we record.
I know you said earlier on that, that this podcast was helpful, so I'm not fishing for compliments here. I know that you've worked individually with a few people in audio drama who've taken a bit of time to sort of guide you through various things. Who was really helping you with that?
Michael Stokes. He is the audio engineer for HG World. I had posted a question on the Facebook group about something about a digital audio workstation. I don't even remember what exactly the question was, but he offered to have a longer in-depth conversation with me about it. So we started Skyping together, and he has spent hours upon hours on Skype with me, and I can't thank that man enough. He has put so much time into helping me learn the process of mixing and learning the program Reaper, and I mean, he's been an invaluable resource. And Michael, I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, Michael's a really helpful guy. I'm always really impressed, you know, if a question goes out in the community. You know, he just seems to put a lot of time into helping people, and that's great when you get a community like that. I think it's a very helpful medium in general. There's a lot of people out there offering advice and not really looking for anything in return. And sometimes, you know, podcasts and books and video tutorials are great, but just to sit down and actually be able to talk to someone and ask them questions in real time, or even just repeat back what they've said to you to sort of reaffirm it in your own mind, can be it can make you feel like you're making so much more progress, can't it?
Absolutely. I mean, without your show and the community that you guys have put together on Facebook, we would have been nowhere near ready to release a show. Seriously. I mean, you guys have been an absolute godsend to me, really. And I have to also mention Kevin Hartnell. I had contacted him about natural selection and asked him if he had any music that we could use. So he immediately starts emailing me these tracks, which I thought were fantastic. And I asking him different things about the stuff that he was sending me and asking if he had anything maybe slower for some tension building moments. And he flat out wrote new songs and recorded them and sent them to me just for the heck of it. I mean, just because he's a nice guy. And once the show was put together, I let him listen to it, and he had decided that he didn't like the way the music sounded within the show itself. So he said, well, if you're willing, I'll just rescore it for you. I couldn't believe it. I was dumbfounded. I mean, he took the time out of everything that he's doing. I know he's a busy guy, and took the time to score our show for us. I mean, that's fantastic. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin's a real legend. He's such an asset to the community, and he's done so much for ourselves as well, and he's worked with Campfire. So yeah, again, it's great to have these people around, very experienced, very skilled people, and I think everyone is benefiting from it. Looking to going into the new year, then what's on the agenda for you guys in the long run? Like, where do you want to eventually take this?
Well, obviously, I'm sure, like quite a few people in the audio drama world, you know, it's the dream to be able to do this for a living. But you know, reality is reality. So, but I would like to take it as far as I can possibly get it to go. Honestly. I mean, I'm like I said earlier, I've developed an unhealthy obsession for this, and I'll probably be doing it for the rest of my life.
So is it something along the lines of an ongoing story, like a serial type story that you want to release, or do you want to keep putting out one-offs in the short term?
Well, Natural Selection, like you had said, was a one-off, and actually I'm probably just a few hours of mixing away from releasing our second one, which is also another one-off. But once I get that one out, we have a comedy series in mind that we're gonna start with next.
So for the benefit of I mentioned the folks that listen that haven't ever mixed any audio or put anything out, and they're approaching the end of the year. Would you say to people, in all honesty, that this time next year, if they start work straight away, that they could actually have audio dramas out there online with people listening to them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm living proof of that. And frankly, if I can do it, it does take a lot of research, a lot of trial and error, and a good support group. But if you put yourself into it, I would say that within a year is definitely a reasonable time frame.
And have you got any tips or advice for people as they think about getting started?
There's this great podcast that I've heard about called the Audio Drama Production Podcast, that it's an invaluable resource, honestly. I mean, listening to your show is 90% of where I got my information. And the rest was really trial and error and experimentation.
So would you say it's just a case of trying to set aside time each week to just sit down with the computer open and just messing around with audio, just getting used to it and getting some ideas together for what you're actually going to record?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You have to put the time into it. It's not going to just magically happen. I mean, I honestly, like I said earlier, there's a lot more time involved than I was expecting there to be, but it's well worth it. But you do have to put in the time.
So where can listeners find your show Natural Selection? Where could they find that online?
Currently, we are at audiobliviousproductions.libsyn.com, and we also are now on YouTube under Audio Oblivious Productions.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much, Austin. That was a really enjoyable chat, and I hope that it's inspired a few people who haven't started yet to just take that leap, basically.
Oh, I hope so too. And it was a pleasure being here, Matthew. I really appreciate it. It's a real honor.
just a couple of very quick heads up before we wrap the show up this week. I just wanted to say a huge thanks to Seth Williams. He's joined the famous Knights of the Pledge group, pledging to support this podcast on Patreon. And Seth, you're a knight yourself, aren't you, Austin?
I am.
I've bought many a pint with your hard-earned cash. I'm joking. I cover hosting with it. Honestly. So a huge thanks to Seth. I was chatting to Seth earlier today. So he's a narrator. He's got a website, thebujam.org. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes. So Seth's basically, if you've written a story, he'll basically narrate it, record it for you. So, great stuff from Seth, and like I say, big thanks to him. We also had an email in from Brian Ron. Brian was asking me the question about hosting, like where you host your show. You just mentioned, Austin, that you host on Libsyn, as do I. Brian was just basically asking the question if there was maybe a demand for specific hosting for audio dramas rather than, you know, being lumped in with podcasts. Personally, I don't really see a demand for it, but it's only fair, I think, to mention it on the show, because if people maybe can think of several reasons why that would be attractive to them, get in touch with me, podcast@audiodramaproduction.com, and I'll pass your details on to Brian, and he could have a chat with you because he knows a lot more about his plans than I do. But like I say, if that's something that interests you, get in touch and I'll hook you up with Brian. And I think that's it for this week. We're hoping to get together next week for a wee discussion, again focusing on next year. I think we're going to talk about, you know, the is professionalisation a word, Austin? I'm not sure if I made that up, but
I think it is now.
It is. I'm going to patent it. Can you patent a word? I don't think you can. But we want to talk about going forward into the new year. I think there's been a lot of exciting developments this year, and I would really like the opportunity to see all the people that are working away making audio drama to be able to start making a wee bit of money. You know, even if they say they're just in it as a hobby, it takes a lot of time, and I think people should be rewarded for their work and for the great content that they're putting out. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are very serious about getting business models around their shows as well, so we want to have a conversation about that before the end of the year. Hopefully we'll manage that. Again, if you've got any thoughts on that, just email them in, and we can discuss them on the programme. Closing thoughts, Austin, for the week. Are you all ready for Christmas? Do you celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, we're just about almost ready, almost done with our Christmas shopping. We've got just a few things left to buy, but yeah, we're pretty close to being ready.
Have you posted your list up the chimney? What audio equipment was on that list?
I did not post mine yet.
Well, you better get that done. Santa's a busy man at this time of year. If you get in late, you'll end up with what's that USB mic again? The blue snowball. You'll end up with one of those. I don't like them. Sorry if anyone has a blue snowball. I'm not a fan. I'm not a snob, honest. Right, I think that'll do us for this week. audiodramaproduction.com is the website. I really should have mentioned my own show, Cracking Mayor. I've got an audio drama out myself this week.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm pleased with the feedback. I tried to not market it as the biggest space story that was released this week, because obviously, you know, that Star Wars thing came out as well, possibly on the same day, which...
It was the same day, yes.
Don't know if that was good or bad timing on my part. Wonder if anyone listened to my show in the cinema and blanked the film. Probably not. But I've got an audio drama out too. It's called Cracking Mayor. It's about travel up to Titan, the moon of Saturn, to investigate some mysterious wreckage under the surface of the world's biggest methane ocean, Cracking Mayor. That's the name of it. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you're interested. Thank you very much for your time, Austin. You make a great Robert.
Matthew, thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch up with you again next week.